A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now, there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to the disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves. That had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This truly is the prophet, the one who is coming into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off and make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, if you took a survey and asked people which is the most famous of all the gospel passages and stories, this one would probably win. It'd be way up there. And for good reason, because it's in all 4 gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record a version of this story of the multiplication of the loaves. And that doesn't happen too many times. There is, some accounts of Jesus' doings that are in 2 or 3 gospels, or some only in 1, but there's very few that are in all 4. And so it's fair for us to conclude that each one of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all saw this having some real importance, that they had to pass this on. Because for the most part, each one of them selected different things that they thought were significant from the actions and the life of Jesus. But here's one area where they all came down agreeing on this one. And it doesn't take too much imagination to understand that this has a symbolism of a Eucharistic symbolism to it. The multiplication of the loaves, like we multiply the body of Christ throughout the world for Holy Communion. And you'd be right on if you made that conclusion, that it's got something here to do with the Eucharist and being fed with Jesus, the true bread that's come down from heaven. But I think there are 4 key things here in the story that we need to keep in mind. It says that Jesus went out across the Sea of Galilee to a deserted place. Remember, he was trying to get away from the crowd after being really busy. And the different accounts of this multiplication of the loaves said he had pity on the crowd as he saw them arriving, and he taught them at great length. But the key is here, they were looking for Christ, and they went out to that deserted place in search of him. There was a hunger that they had, first for truth, for God. You know, we have a term for Holy Communion that we bring to someone who's dying. It's from a Latin word, it's called Viaticum. And basically, the translation is, it means food for the journey that they're going to take across the threshold of life into eternity. That's what we call Holy Communion for those who are dying, Viaticum. And that's what this scene represents in a way, is that they're on a journey seeking God, and He feeds them. And that's what the Eucharist is. But implicit in that is that we have to be on that journey. We have to be seeking God. We have to be looking for Him. No? If we feel like we're self-sufficient and we've got it all together, it won't do much for us. Let's face it. How many times have we received Holy Communion and it didn't seem to do anything for us? How many of us are guilty of that? You don't have to put up your hands, I will. No? But we have to be seeking God and looking for Him. If we're passive, distracted, self-sufficient, happy with the way it is. No, but if we got that hunger for God, then the Eucharist can do something amazing for us all. And then the Gospel says too that He saw the crowds and He had pity on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd in the other Gospels. And it says, then He began to teach them at length. Why didn't He just feed them quickly? Gosh, they're hungry. He taught them at length. He spoke the word of God to them. And to me, that reminds me of the Mass. That's what we do. We start the Mass off with the readings from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then the Gospel. We speak that word of God. And then we make a profession of our faith. And what's key here is that we are listening and receiving that instruction from Jesus. That we're open to hear the word of God. And not just hear it and say, okay, that's fine, that's cool. But have it change us. Have it impact our life and make decisions to adhere to this teaching of Jesus. To change my life in anything that's not in accord with what Jesus teaches us. He teaches them at length. Then He asked this question of His disciples. Where can we get enough food for this huge crowd? 5,000 men. Now, He knew what He was going to do, but He wanted them to ponder the question. Where can we get enough to feed this crowd? And when we ask that question, we come to grips with the fact that all our human efforts are insufficient. We can't save ourselves. We can't feed the needs of the human heart. We don't have the answers. We don't have the solutions. We're poor. We're deprived. Our efforts are small and insufficient. And so then they bring forward this boy who's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And what good is that for so many? Exactly. What we can contribute is so small to the work of God. What we offer God is just the crumbs. But Jesus will take what we give Him. And He'll multiply it. But there's one key here too. You can imagine that boy seeing the huge crowd and going off and just feeding himself and his friends or his family. I got to keep this for myself. I don't have enough for everybody else.
And yet he gives it. He's got to turn it over. See, God needs us to give him whatever we have. God needs us to turn over the little that we have, to be detached from it, and say, Lord, you gave this to me, I give it back to you. If the boy hadn't given what he had, Jesus would have had nothing with which to multiply, nothing to feed the crowds. So it's an invitation here for us to give up the idea that we can be self-sufficient, or that we can look after number one and then everything will be fine. We have to surrender it to the Lord so that he can do the miracle of multiplication of loaves. And then the miracle of Jesus goes on and everyone's fed and satisfied. And Jesus gives the instruction, gather up the fragments so that nothing is lost. Well, that seems kind of pointless. If he can multiply loaves, we don't have to worry about what's left over. But there's a message in that too for us all, as we receive Holy Communion, that we need to guard it and protect it. We need to care for that grace that we receive. Which is why, after we receive, we have a moment of silence to give thanks, to revere God. We don't rush out of church thoughtlessly. We stay and we give thanks to God. See, the Eucharist, to be effective, needs that spiritual exercise of us thanking God. In order for us to assimilate the power and the grace of Holy Communion, we need to take a moment to be conscious after communion of the mystery that we've received, the great grace that we've been privileged to have. And so I'd invite you all just to reflect on the way you receive Holy Communion and how you treat the Blessed Sacrament. Because I think this gospel passage teaches us that it won't be very effective for us unless we are searching for God. Unless we've got that hunger for God in our heart as we approach the Mass. That we come here not out of routine or obligation, but we come looking for Jesus in a deserted place. And it'll only be effective for us, too, if we first listen attentively to what Jesus teaches us. That he speaks to us his word of truth. So that we can understand ourselves and we can understand the world around us. Not the way the media portrays it, but the way Jesus sees it. We've got to let that sink in. And then we've got to assert our faith, our belief in what he taught us. And thirdly, then we have to make sure we give the meager contribution that we have. Turn it all over to God. And let him multiply it. And finally, to gather those fragments together in thanksgiving, in reverence, in silence, and treasure the great gift we have in the Eucharist.